Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit it! Na 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 na.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Here in about a half hour, we'll be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. He checks in with us every couple weeks here on 610 Sports Radio. A lot to get into with him. The Royals do get the win last night over the Brewers. Cole Reagans was on the bump. And Michael Massey extends his hitting streak to career best 9 games. So we'll talk about that and see if he's on board with something we're now excited to officially announce. We've been teasing it for about a week and a half.
Here
if you've
go.
Been listening, you know, General MacArthur's 9th Infantry. Tuesday, December 21st is going to be the game. We're all going to be out there. Royals, Tigers, section 151. You can also buy tickets in 152 or 150, that bullpen area and right field. And we have our banner that is, I saw it today. We got one more tweak on it, it looks like, and we'll be good to go, man. We're gonna go all in on General MacArthur. We're going to have our 9th Infantry section for the 21st of this month, that Royals game. Hope to see you guys out there. That's the sections you want to buy tickets for,
so,
if you're wondering.
So here's what, yeah, so either section, we're going to be in section 151. I'll just tell you right now.
Yep.
There aren't, we're looking for at least 40 people. I'll tell you, that's the number we're looking for. 40 people to join us. We'll be in 151. There are not 40 tickets available in 141 or 151. That section's not even big enough for that. But 150, 152 right next to it. There's some seats available in the 200s right behind there. Here's what we are prepared to offer you if you guys will come out, support General MacArthur in a save effort on the 21st of this month. It's a Tuesday night game against the Tigers. We have a several feet long banner being printed, as you said, that says MacArthur's 9th Infantry. We have shirts from Ray Gun being printed that say MacArthur's 9th Infantry in that kind of like royal color. And I have, with the show fund, purchased 40 Army hats.
They're on the way.
Or I don't know. They're hats.
Yeah.
To further the look. So shirt, hat, banner. So the first 40 people who will meet us out at the K that day, and we're going to do a tailgate situation where we can hand this stuff out before we go in, prove to us that they're going to sit in a section near us so that we can make enough of a scene. So either 150, 151, 152, or the 200 behind us. I got a shirt for you. I got a hat for you. And we're going to hold up this big banner to support James MacArthur.
Yeah, we'll have all that ready for you guys on the 21st. And I may have said December, May 21st, obviously.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that would be something if it was
May. We can do it in December as well if this goes well. We can just randomly do something in December.
December?
But, what? But I don't know. If just celebrate MacArthur if we want. Randomly, it can be MacArthur Day too. But no, May 21st, looking forward to that. We'll continue to remind you about it. But right now, you can just go to royals.com. And yeah, buy some tickets. Check out 151 first, and then go from there. But anywhere in that Royals bullpen area is what we're gunning for here in on a couple Tuesdays, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully we get lucky too, and it's a save opportunity for MacArthur that night. And we'll enjoy that. And we've had a lot of listeners try to help out with this too, so we appreciate that. Somebody DM us early with a logo and everything. We do have that taken care of already, but we have some people trying to help out, so appreciate that.
If you buy them, send us a screenshot. Shoot it to us at Cody B. Tapp at 610 Sports KC or over at Alex Gold on Twitter. I want to see them. I want to make sure that we're starting to fill us up because I'm looking for at least 40 people. I'll be honest. I bought 40 hats. They're supposed to ship in a couple of days.
Yeah, we did.
And then Ray Gunn said they'll send me 40 shirts. I feel like we can get 40 people out to a Royals game, right? They're winning. MacArthur's. I mean, I know he blew a save the other. That's not important.
Don't bring
that
up.
He's a great closer.
Don't bring that up.
We're good to go. We're going to support him. They're going to turn the lights down low. And I can just feel it. This show's timing is very good sometimes. We're going to show up there on the 21st. It's going to be a 4-2 game in the ninth. The Royals are leading. And they're going to need him to come out to White Horse. Thanks.
That's his song. Looking forward to it, man.
Actually, will one person wear a white horse mask? That'd be great, actually. I just need one person to do that. That would actually fulfill the need. I don't have one of those for you, but, I mean, we could look into it. What do you think, like a rubber white horse mask?
Probably buy one
cost?
Of those for 30 bucks, my guess.
Maybe less.
Yeah. You can probably find one on Amazon.
Matter of fact, if you can't make the one on the 21st, but you're willing to go out, I'll let you borrow the banner. That banner should live somewhere out there in right field behind the bullpen, pretty much the rest
of
the
year. Well, hopefully it catches on. We know the team is willing to already start calling him the general. That's been going on for the last couple of weeks. That's where this all started. We're like, we got to go in with this idea a little bit further than just calling him General MacArthur. So, yes, we'll continue to remind you, but if you're just tuning in, the 21st, the Royals game, the 21st of this month, that night against the Tigers, sections behind the Royals bullpen, right? 151, 150, 152. Yes, you could even do 250, 252. That section, we're all trying to get together, and we've got 40 of these MacArthur 9th Infantry t-shirts, but the first 40 people.
Yeah,
hopefully we have more than that.
Yeah, ideally. And look, here's the good news. Ray Gunn told me that not only will they produce the shirts for us for the 40, but if it looks like we're going to have way more than that, some of you will be able to go to Ray Gunn ahead of time. So, like, they're going to put some in their store in the Crossroads for us so that for the people who need to acquire a shirt before, because it looks like we're going to have way more people, that's fine. I'll be keeping an eye on the ticket sales all day. I'm going to go to the Royals website. I'm going to check the open seats. I know how many seats were available in 151, 150, and 152 before. We're going to be in 151. But, man, I looked. It's going to be a, you know, you're going to want to get your tickets soon. That's all I'm going to say, so that we can go support him.
If he does, say he gets the save, are you going to make a song in celebration over something like this?
I mean, he has a song.
Yeah, we don't need us. We don't need an extra song.
Did anybody ever sing to these?
I don't think so.
I can make up words to this. It does actually feel like...
Too.
Oh, you know what? This is actually a really good point by Drew. It doesn't have to be before. As we're walking to our section, are you sure one of our phones
bring a boombox
shouldn't be playing like a snare drum with like a chant?
Well, I mean, that would be if we're all walking in at the exact same time.
We could arrange ourselves behind right field walking to our seats.
We can. I mean, as you know, everybody arrives at baseball games at different times. So my guess is I don't know if we're going to have all 40 walking in at the exact same time. That would be incredible. It's a 6:40 first pitch. I don't know if everybody can meet us in the parking lot by 6:15 or something, or 6:10.
If you timed it perfectly, obviously he has the walkout song, but if we know that he's warming up, just
we just need a chant. Oh man, boy, that would be pretty good. Okay, Drew, you're on to something there. We got 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, we're going to be out at the K. We're going to be MacArthur's 9th Infantry, brought to you by 610,
That's right.
And we'll be out there. Thanks for all the people that are working on this stuff with us, because like we wanted a huge banner to hold out and the whole thing. It takes a lot of work to arrange this.
The text line's correct that we can give the Royals a heads up on this. We do need, if you're a vendor at the ballpark, you might want to hang around that section a lot throughout the evening. Someone says we need a personal hot dog and beer vendor just for those six sections throughout the entire evening.
That's going to be a rowdy group.
Could be.
You know, you think campfire, wartime. I mean, you're going to be a rowdy group. By the way, one reminder for this again. This show is not looking for any historical accuracy with any of this. It might involve five different time periods.
Right.
None of that is important.
Yep.
The time period appropriateness of it. By the way, if you're curious what our signal is, like, oh, what are we? What do we raise on our banner is MacArthur's 9th Infantry. That would be crossed bats, you know, swords, if you will, for a picture of his caliber. So
yeah, our insignia, I guess, is the word we're looking for there. Our insignia
sigil,
is set.
Whatever you want to call it.
We're good to go. So we'll keep telling you sections 150, 151, or 152. The Royals game against the Tigers on the 21st. That's going to be MacArthur's 9th Infantry, and we will be sitting in section 151 and hope to see you guys out there. Somebody that we'll also see while we're there on the 21st is someone that I think is underrated right now in the MVP conversation. Just pure undervalue right now is Salvador Perez and what he's been able to do. He's turns 34 in, is it today or in 2 days? It's like his birthday's either today or in 2 days from now. I can't remember what it is. But he's turning 34 very, very soon. And right now he's 10th in baseball in home runs. He's 3rd in baseball in RBI. He's 8th in baseball in OPS. He's got the 11th best batting average. He also has improved in some of the defensive metrics, in particular framing, right? Pitch framing. So he is having as good of a start to a season as he's ever had in his career. We all know he's had some great seasons. And I feel like he's not getting much national attention. Look, Bobby Witt Jr. has got the 3rd best odds to win MVP. And he is still probably their best chance for that to happen. In a very tough race that'll be lasting hopefully all summer. That could be fun to watch. But I was looking at the latest odds, and depending on what sports book you go to, whether it's ESPN Bet, FanDuel, wherever, Salvador Perez at 1.4, it was 80-1 for MVP. Now he's 60-1. He's 40-1 in another book. 18 players have better odds for MVP than Salvador Perez. I don't think he's ultimately probably winning MVP, Cody, but based on his numbers, he's super undervalued right now. For what he's doing. And I don't know if it's just everybody's expecting this huge drop off because he's 34. Yeah, and like, he's not going to maintain the probably 11th best batting average in baseball. I doubt that. But at the same time,
unlikely,
man, he is undervalued for what he's putting up number wise. He should be viewed as one of the, I don't know, top 10 contenders at this point for MVP in the AL.
People can doubt him all he wants. I remember specifically covering the Royals when Salvador Perez was hitting 48 home runs in a season. And a lot of people were like, well, he's not going to hit 50. You know, like, he's not going to hit this many home runs this year. He's not going to maintain this pace. Salvador Perez is locked in. When Salvador Perez is locked in, he's good to go. And versus any other time in his career, which they have slowly learned over time, it took him maybe too long. A fresh Salvador Perez is in a guy who catches 4 days a week, not 7 gold, can maintain a certain level of offensive ability. I'm not sure why he's so low either. Look, you and I are both saying, like, it's not that he's definitely going to win MVP.
No, in fact, I don't think he is. Yeah.
But if you're just talking about odds, that'd be the case. And before you're like, well, catchers don't win MVP. Wrong. Catchers do win MVP. Now, look, it's been a decade. The last one to win it was Buster Posey. But Joe Mauer won it a few years before that. And out of every position group who's ever won MVP, catcher is just as likely of everyone outside of right field and first base. Those two win more MVPs than anyone. Guess why? Power numbers. They put the ball over the damn fence. They're also easier positions to win gold gloves at, therefore easier positions to win the MVP. Other than that, like, you're like, shortstop must win MVP more than catcher. It doesn't. It actually wins it less. Third base must win MVP more than catcher. It doesn't. It wins it the same amount. So for any amount of catching must not be a position that wins it, that's just factually inaccurate. It actually wins it as consistently as most positions.
Some of it is name recognition, too. You know, I was looking who was in front of them and some guys that ultimately might bounce back. But right now, if you just compare number-wise, there's some players that are looking like they have better odds than Salvi that are not having better seasons. Now, things change. It's May. But you look, sure, there are 3 Astros players on a team that is, what, 7 games under 500 or something?
More than that.
At this point.
Pretty bad.
And so, like, Altuve's got better odds. Yordan Alvarez, understandably so, has better odds.
Yeah,
and Kyle Tucker. All very, very good players. But my point being is Salvador Perez is having better season than those guys, and he's got way worse odds. 17 players have better odds than Salvador Perez. I'm just asking for a little respect for Salvi. That's all I'm saying.
Astros are 10 games under 500.
10 games now. Like, so I'm not saying Salvador Perez should have the 3rd best odds like Bobby Witt Jr. does. No. But I don't think there's 17 players playing better baseball right now in the American League than Salvador Perez. That's all.
No, there's not. They're not even close, as a matter of fact. The other thing that'll really help Salvi is he is genuinely beloved by media and players alike. If you're just thinking, like, down the road, what can help him win an MVP? He's loved. He's loved by players. He's loved by media. And if the Royals, what will really help them is the Royals keep winning.
Absolutely.
The Royals are on pace for 94 and 95 wins. They've been pretty much there all year. If they actually won 95 games, were in a wild card game or won the division, technically right now they're behind two other teams. Win percentage, same games back as the Twins. Win percentage, there's a minor difference. But if they won the division or did this and won 95 games, well, then Salvi's really helped. The problem Salvi will have is if the Royals won 95 games, Bobby Witt Jr. keeps playing the way he's playing.
Right.
Are they going to give the MVP to Salvador Perez, or are they going to give it to Bobby Witt Jr.? The phenom, early 20s, shortstop.
Right, and that's part of the equation you have to look at when you are even just talking about betting. The same thing applies for Juan Soto, who is the favorite right now to win MVP. Like, okay, at some point in time, if the Yankees play at a very high level all year and Juan Soto has a great year, yeah, there's a chance Aaron Judge ends up factoring in. Aaron Judge is off to a rough start so far by his standard, but he could end up taking some of those votes. This is a much later in the year conversation to be had, but I agree with you. Yeah, you wonder the splitting of the votes and how things would go. All I'm saying, again, is Salvi should have a little more respect when it comes to some of the odds that are out there for him to win MVP just based off of the start to the season that he's had. And he's not chasing some of the bad pitches that he had been. Like, he's just seeing the ball. His plate discipline is so much better so far this year.
And as you pointed out, like, a lot of those stats you tossed out there are, you know, like major league. Like, if you cycle it down to the American League, where he would be competing for the
right, that's true.
It's even better. Like, those stats are his major league ranks.
Yeah, he's technically third
his
in all
AL
of
ranks are better across the board.
Yeah, 10th most home runs in all of baseball. He's much better than the AL. Third most RBI in all of baseball. I think he's second, maybe, or tied for first in baseball. Eighth best OPS in baseball. He's top five in the American League. 11th best batting average in baseball. He's clearly top 10. In the American League.
The team's in a really weird place right now because they're still winning games, so no one can complain about that. The pitching is still holding up. Like, I get it. They have some, like, one-off starts where, like, Waka wasn't good. But overall, are we out here complaining about the Royals starting pitching every night? Hell no, we're not. Daniel Lynch gave them 5 shutout innings on Sunday. Cole Reagans gave them 6 innings of 2-run ball yesterday. So, no, we're good there. But their offense is Salvador Perez is white hot. Bobby Witt Jr. is a star. Now Massey is going. Mikel's still been hitting pretty good, and then nobody else. Like, Vinny actually had been hitting good for a 5-game stretch, was bad yesterday, but that's a 1-game thing. But the 10 games before that was, they're in a weird dynamic right now where it ever feels like they got, like, 1 month of consistent baseball where they just, like, scored 5 runs a night, not scored 12 or scored 1. And I know that that's not how baseball works often. But if they found, like, consistent run scoring, their pitching keeps most teams almost every game under 5 or 6 runs. That's why they're still the best run team in baseball. Last night was funny because it felt like the game where you're supposed to win the one on Sunday and you lose it, and you're supposed to lose that one last night and you win it. So, like, that's a wash.
It balanced out. It definitely was the complete opposite. You know, the Rangers didn't do anything on Sunday until late, and the Royals lose, and the Royals weren't doing anything on offense until late in the game against the Brewers. Yeah, it was the complete opposite role. And that's going to happen throughout baseball. But nice to see the Royals. Once again, we're talking about, hey, it wasn't a long losing streak. It was 2 games. That happens all the time. But not letting even that become 3 or 4. That's the difference this year. That is the key. Yeah. Anytime there's a little bit of a slide, they don't let it become more than just your typical losing streak that every team has 20 times, if not more, right, throughout a baseball season. We're going to talk to the general manager of the Royals, JJ Piccolo, coming up in about 15 minutes right here on Cody and Gold. Something that could be happening in the next week or so is the NFL schedule release, which has become its own event at this point in time and everybody's excitement. And they dragged this thing out. I saw Pro Football Talk is speculating that next week could be the week. It's not going to be this week. It's already 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. They're not going to release it this week unless they do 1-game tease, right? Maybe there's Thursday there's a tease. They already put out a teaser video last Friday. My guess is next week, it sounds like this could happen, and they could take the entire week and make a whole week out of the schedule release. You know, one day we find out that the Chiefs are playing Houston or Cincy that Thursday night game, and then the next day is all the CBS games, and the next day is all the Fox games or whatever it may be. It sounds like
they really drag this thing out now, don't they?
Yeah, Pro Football Talk pointed out that next week, I guess, is upfront week, which is a huge national for a lot of the broadcast networks ratings. Advertising week, or they pitch all the advertisers, national clients, and so that would also be a good week for them to be able to have the schedule laid out. But the following week, then you're basically around Memorial Day weekend. So next week, I think, is safe to say it sounds like that's going to be when we'll find out the schedule. other than week one, what are you guys like keyed in on? Because as someone that did go on a road trip finally, and I think we're going to try to start doing this with a group of friends every year now, I went to the Packers game. So I want to find out when's that Pittsburgh game on the road? Because that's one that we've talked about maybe going on the road for. When's that Vegas Raiders game? Is it going to be on a holiday weekend again? Or are we finally going to get
it's always like around Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Are we going to finally get a Chiefs game in Vegas against the Raiders that's not on, yeah, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, whatever it may be. So that's kind of what I'm intrigued by. We all know they're getting the maximum amount of primetime games. Like that used to be a thing, the game we played in Kansas City. Now we know they're getting the max. That doesn't matter.
No, yeah, I don't worry about the number of. For me, it's one of the big things I've actually started to pay attention to. One is net rest, where I thought that hurt the Chiefs last year. They're just running up against everybody who has 10 days rest, and they're on four. And I felt like when they were getting their ass kicked or sluggish late in the season, I don't think that those things are not connected. So for the big matchups specifically, so when they're getting ready to face the Ravens or the Bengals or late season divisional games against the Chargers, I kind of want to see how they do it. The lead game is obviously the most important, but I am curious to find out how they spread them out, because for years now, what they have been doing is three of the last four games for like what seemingly 5 years in a row have been divisional games. Are they going to maintain that? Or are there too many other good teams for the Chiefs to face in a given year that you can't keep doing it that way? And are we going to get some more front-loaded divisional games for the first time?
The NFL, I think they really like the mindset of, you know, theoretically the division should be up for grabs still. The final week or two of the season really hasn't been a ton during the dominant run for the Chiefs. But for most teams, most divisions, they love those big time divisional matchups. You know, they love to have Cincinnati and Baltimore in week 17 or whatever it may be. My guess is that kind of trend likely does continue. But you're right. What's the gap? Because we know at some point we're going to factor in the Rashee Rice suspension. So what games? Let's say it's six. Let's say it's eight. All right. We'll know at some point these are the six or eight games that you have the suspension. Is this coming at a good time on paper, at a bad time? That's what will be interesting to see. I'm excited. I do enjoy the schedule release stuff. I don't need to watch the show. Just give me the PDF and graphic, please, and I'll look at it. I don't need to watch the 2 hour special.
No, I'm never going to watch that.
But yeah, when that graphic comes out or the leaks start to trickle out, I think it's fun. It tells you once again why the NFL is where it's at and why they're king, that people are excited about learning the freaking schedule.
They've really started to figure out that they're like, oh, we'll just give you one little thing here and then that, and then here's the little, and like, oh God, like I don't need that. I would rather they just like make a show of it. Give me one night, schedule release, break it down by the teams. You know, the other thing that has really become popular during these that I look forward to now is the social media videos.
Oh, yeah.
The one from the Titans a couple of years ago. Maybe it was last year, where those people are down on Broadway Street or whatever down there trying to guess
that was good,
which mascots they're facing. They've turned it into a like huge team social media account flex day. And I enjoyed that. I like that's become like part of the, you know, part of the conversation, as it were, that we would set it up that way. The other thing that I think, by the way, is consistently important for the Chiefs from a schedule is late buys. I don't want week 5 buys. I don't want week 6 buys.
It needs to be week 8 or later. Yeah. That's where you're looking for.
I want that halfway through the season.
A week 10 buy, honestly, is perfect. Week 10 buy, that's the perfect.
For the Chiefs, who know they have to play 3 or 4 postseason games? Yeah,
like please. You don't want it week 14 necessarily, but you sure don't want it week 6. That would be unfortunate. What was the buy last week? Do you guys remember?
It was late.
Like week 11?
It was
like week 8
or... It was later.
Yeah,
it was second half. I think along with that, Not only when's the bye, but who do you have right after the bye?
True.
And do they have a bye the same week that you have said bye? Or is it a different week and how it coincides with the schedule? I think you brought up a good point, Goldwyn. When I'm looking at the schedule, is okay, what is the easiest stretch? What's the most difficult stretch of the season? And to that point, the Rashee Rice stuff obviously playing a factor in that. Like, say they have, you know, a stretch where they... I don't even know if these are opponents necessarily, but they've got the Chargers, they've got the Bills, they've got the Bengals, and then they got the Eagles back to back to back. It's like, that's a tough stretch. There.
No matter
and then
what, their schedule is going to kind of look
sure,
like that.
They're playing first place schedule. We know that. They've been doing that for a while. And the divisions, they got the NFC South this year, so that's why you'll get the Bucks and the Panthers and Saints.
How do they get those four games in a row? You know, just give us the whole NFC South a month straight. I can just take off work. I don't need to show up. By the way, they were week 10 last year after the Germany game.
Okay, that made sense. Okay. Week 10's a good spot, man. Week 10's a good spot to have the bye week when you're right, when you're playing 20 games a year seemingly every time if you're the Chiefs during the Super Bowl window that they have. So it sounds like the The thought is next week, and maybe it's throughout the entire week, we'll start to see some schedule news. Because I do think there's a lot of Chiefs fans and people listening that, will plan their weekends and maybe even trips around the Chiefs schedule, whether it's them actually going to a Chiefs game on the road or just, hey, they got other stuff going on. Life is busy and they want to be able to map out what they got to do around Chiefs games. I mean, it's obviously must watch stuff. And Pittsburgh is probably the, for me, at least other than Vegas, is the one, like, if I were to do a
you
road
saw
trip
Chiefs
next
game
year,
in Vegas.
I know it was the game. Yes.
Pretty good one.
It turns out it was a really good game. But Pittsburgh's probably on the list of other than divisional going to Vegas for a Raiders game to see the Chiefs there. I think the Steelers game is the one that I would want to go to. Heinz Field. I think it'd be a cool spot to see a game.
Yeah. Obviously they're not facing Green Bay this year where you went last year. That's going to be on somebody's bucket list. Outside of that, football doesn't have that many, like, gotta go to stadiums unless you're going to the state of the art ones. I'll be honest. Unless you're going
to city,
like,
probably more the city than the stadium.
Yeah,
because like I've never been to the city of Pittsburgh. Actually, I'm interested to go. I've never been there. Like New Orleans would be a fun trip if you're just looking for the party.
You've been to New Orleans?
It's not on my list. Yeah, it's not on my list this year.
I'm too old for New Orleans, man.
You gotta go to Bourbon Street once.
No, I can't. I'm too old.
Wait, you've never been to Bourbon
Street? I don't think you. I don't think you are too old.
Disagree.
I would beg to differ.
I strongly disagree. But okay, why am I not too old?
Because the amount of people who are there to see bands, like there's more to do than there's enough of a wide range, age gap of things to do in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, where I think you would be blended in well.
Yeah, I don't need to go there again, but I think if you haven't been before, Cody, you go to Café du Monde, you get a beignet.
Yes.
I think you'd enjoy it, but one time, problem is I went there one time and I was there for a week. Way too long.
That's like, we were just so in Vegas for 9 days.
Too long. Too long. There you go. We'll check in on the schedule, I'm sure, next week. Up next, back to the Royals, though, with the general manager of the Royals, J.J. Piccolo. Will ask him about that buzz at the stadium over the weekend and what they've seen so far from Michael Massey since being called up after that rehab assignment.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just getting started here on a Tuesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Here in about 15 minutes, we'll get to a city that thinks they deserve another shot at an NFL team based off of attendance. with some professional football that's going on in their city right now. So that's coming up in just a little bit. But let's talk about the Kansas City Royals, who got the win last night, and they kicked off that series with the Brewers. It continues tonight out at Kauffman Stadium, and we always like to have the general manager of the Kansas City Royals and the executive vice president of baseball ops, J.J. Piccolo, call in. And good morning, J.J. We were talking yesterday that over the weekend, specifically Friday night, the buzz around the building, we really hadn't seen that in years. Do you sense the difference in the city and the building around this team right now?
Without question. I mean, there definitely was a different feel Friday and even Saturday night. And we had a nice crowd on Sunday. And that's exciting for our city. It's exciting for our players. It's exactly what we do this for. And it makes the games a lot more fun to go to, look forward to. So it was great. It was a great atmosphere.
I think specifically, like, Michael Garcia told our Royals insider that he plays better in those moments because it feels like you're playing for something. Do you find that's common in young players specifically, that like maybe they want like the feeling of importance in order to perform better?
Well, I don't think they'll ever like point to a performance based on who's in the crowd, but I don't think there's any doubt when we have a bigger crowd, we have a more motivated player. And in Michael, in particular, playing winter ball, he's playing in front of 10, 15,000 fans every night, and he feeds off of that. He loves it. He thrives in it, you know, and I think every player, when you're playing in front of 25, 30,000, there's a little bit more at stake. Even though the games count the same, there's a little bit more at stake because there's more excitement in the park, whether you're at home or on the road, but it's much better when you're at home with those types of crowds.
Thinking of some of the best players who play in the biggest moments, Bobby Witt Jr., we were discussing it briefly. How happy are you got that deal done, you know, this offseason versus having to wait after this 162 might have cost you a few more million?
Yeah, it goes through our mind daily. we're really glad we got it done, and, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, Bobby wanted to be here, you know, and that's why we were able to get it done, and we were motivated as well. But we do think about it. He's a really special player, and I think the contract is showing its worth, even in these early stages.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo here on 610 Sports Radio. I think the last time we had you on the show, Michael Massey maybe was just finishing up kind of his rehab assignment, if I'm not mistaken. But now we fast forward. He's extended his hitting streak to a career best 9 games, and he's batting .375. We saw a little power last night to kind of spark the offense and help this team win yesterday. What have you seen from him maybe that wasn't there throughout the entire season last year, and how crucial he's going to be in this lineup?
Well, he's making really good swing decisions right now, but not only that, he's making really good adjustments. You know, up in Toronto, pitcher that he hit a homer off of the night before, threw him the same pitch and got him, you know, to end the game. Next night, there he is facing the same pitcher, has an expectation what he's going to get. He makes the adjustment, he hits the home run. Last night, you know, he took a fastball for a strike, chased a breaking ball, then stays disciplined against a tough left-handed pitcher. That pitcher had a sub-1 ERA, and obviously he's a left-handed specialist type. Michael hangs in there and hits a homer off of a left-handed pitcher, and the guy left the ball up in the zone. So, you know, he's doing all the things that you want hitters to do. You can't force it on guys, but typically when guys get experience and get at bats, you know, they start figuring things out, and we like to think that's what Michael's doing right now.
What steps do you take to make sure that the back injury, which not injury, but like something he's dealt with a majority of his career, what do you guys do? How do you work with him to make sure that like that stays, you know, so it's not a problem down the road?
Yeah, that's where our performance science team and our coaching staff and just communication with Michael is really important. He's not going to play 162 games, even if he had been on the opening day roster. He's not going to play 162, and we're okay with that. What we want is 100% of Michael in as many games as we can get. It's hard to put a number on the games because it's more of a feel thing. But he is going to have to sit games. Even if he's going well, he's going to have to sit games because this is more about the length of the season and not necessarily putting the best lineup out tonight as much as we want to. We got to be smart about that. We got a stretch coming up against the Angels. We got 3 left-handed pitchers, so it's not that we're afraid to play him against left-handed pitchers, but it's a more logical place to give him a day. So we just got to continue to work with him and listen to our medical and performance staff and do the right thing for him, because that's the right thing for our team.
Speaking of left-handed hitters, MJ Melendez has been getting pinch hit for a little bit later on in these games. Are you seeing maybe a chance for him to snap out of his slump here recently? You're seeing more positive things in his at-bats.
You know, we have seen some things. He had some tough luck with a couple lineouts over the weekend. You know, last night, the two at-bats, he hit the ball to the middle of the field, which is what we prefer to see him do because he's got big power. So I feel like he's trying to make an adjustment there. He's going through a tough stretch, you know, and, you know, we believe in the player. We believe he's going to be able to put up big numbers at some point in his career. But right now, if that's what's best for the team and we got to pinch hit for him, unfortunately, that's the way we got to go. But we don't expect that to be the case over the course of the entire season. You know, he's an explosive player. We got to look for those small clues. And I thought last night and two hits the other day, even though he didn't necessarily square him up, he got a couple hits. You're starting to see some things that make you feel good. But we know he's going good when he's driving the ball through that left center field gap and he's staying over the ball well and he makes better decisions on what pitches to swing at. So hopefully he gets there sometime here soon.
On the positive, how impressed have you been with his improvement in left field?
Very, very, very impressed. MJ's a good athlete. And when we moved him to the outfield, he clearly didn't have enough time out there for us to put him there in the major leagues, but that's where it fit our team best and to get his bat in the lineup. But his athleticism, we felt like over time, you know, he'd be able to play left. And he did it. A lot of credit goes to him. He spent time this offseason doing things to help him with his routes, his jumps, his breaks, his first step quickness. And then he carried into spring training, has worked hard at it. And, we're really glad that he's improved there.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, here on 610 Sports Radio. There was a report yesterday from Ken Rosenthal that perhaps you guys had some interest in Luis Arraez, who ended up getting traded from the Marlins to the Padres. Did you guys have interest? And I think fans took that as, hey, you guys are willing to go out and maybe add to this lineup at some point this season.
Well, put it to you this way. I mean, we got good information that he was going to get moved. So you do what you're supposed to do. You call him and make the call to the club to find out if it's in fact true. And obviously they were looking to move him. I would categorize the discussions as very light, and come to find out after the fact that those discussions with San Diego had gone on since the winter meetings or sometime over the winter. So, but we're, you know, what I can tell you is we're always going to look to improve the team. And, you know, and that particular player, he's a two-time batting champion. He represents a lot of on base, which is something we feel like we're going to need to find somewhere. So he was the right type of player, and the call was made, but never came close to a deal being made because they were so far along with San Diego.
Looking ahead months down the road, hopefully you guys are still in a spot, obviously, and playing as well as you guys are right now. Do you feel your minor league system, your farm system right now is positioned to where if you did need to go and make a move that you're not held back because of maybe where it's at currently?
You talking about if we had to make a trade?
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
No, we're not going to be too worried about that. I mean, it's we have to make a really solid evaluation of where we think this club is, a realistic evaluation. You know, right now we feel good about where we're at. If we feel good in a month or 2 months, we got some time until the trade deadline. Your farm system is there to help your major league team, whether it be those players coming up or acquiring other players. That's what your farm system is there for. So I'm not going to be too worried about, where the industry or where the publications think our farm system is. We know we have good players. We know we have players that other teams would want. So we're not concerned with that. You know, you always want to be healthy with your farm system, but if you're making a move to help the major league team, that's ultimately what this is about. You know, our fans want to see our major league team win. You know, they pay attention to our farm system, but they want to see the major league team win. So that's where our motivation will lie, and we won't be deterred because of where our farm system may or may not be.
JJ, I know the standard answer of you can never have too much good starting pitching, but how do you handle if Chris Bubich is getting ready to head on a rehab assignment? Let's say he's available in under a month. Daniel Lynch gave you a really nice start on Sunday. Marsh would be back soon. How do you kind of balance the guys between, do you just have them keep being starters in AAA, or do you start finagling the idea of maybe they can give us long innings in the big leagues? How do you handle the what might be excess of starting pitching if Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich pitch well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, it's I think what we just showed, I know John Boland didn't have a great start, but he was able to come up and give us some innings. But John Boland, Daniel Lynch, and Chris Bubich, they will need to help us. There's no doubt. What Daniel did the other day was outstanding. I mean, we were hoping to get maybe four, keep us in the game. He gives us five shutouts. I mean, that is, you couldn't ask for anything more. As we go through the season and the bullpen evolves, trade deadline comes and goes, that's when I think you have to look at, okay, what are our next best options? And at the stages of the careers that Daniel's in and John Boland and Chris Bubich, if they got to go to the bullpen, they got to go to the bullpen. You know, that again, that would be a good problem for us to have. Chris, I think we'd have to be a little careful with it's a rehab year for him. We have to be a little careful with that. But they're options for us. If they're throwing strikes and we know they got good stuff, you know, why not? You look at a lot of the bullpens around the game, they're failed starters. And that's what happens. So we'll do what's best for the club. We'll exhaust all of our options. We just like the depth we have right now because that's what's going to allow us to keep competing because it still revolves around getting quality starts from your starters.
Just a couple more minutes with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, here on 610 Sports Radio. Something that came up again last night, and we've been asked about on the text line before, and so I'll just ask you, what's the point of a set amount of managerial challenges if you can just ask for a crew chief review anyway?
I think it's the worst rule in baseball, to be honest with you. I just don't understand it. I've never understood it. The whole idea is there's strategy. You get one challenge. If you're out of it, you're out of it. I mean, and in last night's case, they weren't looking for a crew chief challenge. They looked to us like the crew chief asked them if they wanted a challenge. And I may be wrong on that. But now, having said that, it works to our advantage, too. You know, you get into the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, you got a questionable call. You know you got that crew chief challenge in the ninth. So, you know, you can burn one even if you're not 100% sure you're going to win the challenge. So it works both ways. I just, you know, when we watch the game, whenever it happens, all the guys that watch it, oh, here we go again, because they know I'm going to complain about it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
We want to ask you one more thing before we let you get out of here. We are planning on showing up to a game 2 weeks from today to support specifically James MacArthur and what he's been doing for you guys in the closer role. We noticed that you guys had started lowering the lights, making a scene. So we are asking people to go out as, from 610. MacArthur's 9th Infantry. We got a banner, some shirts, hats, the whole thing. Are you willing to maybe put on a shirt if we have you out there that day?
Yeah, I'll do that. I got no problem with that. I think that's pretty cool. And they are, you know, I really like what our game day operations are doing. We're transitioning different entries. You know, last night Stratton came in and, you know, the lights were flickering and whatnot. But, yeah, I think it's awesome. I'd be happy to support.
Also, who do I have to ask to sing live at the K for a walk-up song? Is that you or do I go higher up on the ladder?
I heard you got a song for Michael, I think it is.
I do have – so I have one for Michael. I had one for Vinny a couple of years ago before you guys had called him up. I have recently also done one for MJ Melendez. I'm willing to sing any of those.
I'd have to think about that one, to be honest with you. I don't know if we need live entertainment in-game.
That's a fair point.
I appreciate you not saying yes right away. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. All right, JJ, appreciate it. And, we'll get one of those General MacArthur T-shirts out to you at some point.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the support.
There you go. That's JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. And he's heard of the Michael song, Cody. There you go.
Wow. Now, he caught wind of that somehow.
He very politely was like, I'm not sure if we want the live entertainment. That was a nice way to say,
it's
you know,
one walk-up song, JJ. You know, no big deal.
I'll say it for him. They don't want you singing live out there, man. I don't think they want you singing live.
You're saying it for them. You're speaking for the Royals.
I am.
As their representative.
I think he was trying to be nice. But it sounds like he's all about the General MacArthur 9th Infantry fan section we're going to do for the Royals-Tigers game on the 21st. Again, if you missed the beginning of the show, sections 151, that's where we're going to be sitting, but 150, 151, 152, those Royals bullpen area seats, really anywhere right around there, the night of the 21st, that's where we're going to be at. We're going to support MacArthur, and we've got some T-shirts and some Army hats that have been ordered as well, and we hope to see you guys out there.
It's going to be a good time. Sounds like JJ will rock one at least for a few minutes, right?
That's right.
Come on down. Sit with us. He doesn't have to throw in the cap if he doesn't want to, but I'll set one aside for him. Should we have asked his size?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, you know, we're going to have some larges and some XLs when it comes to the t-shirts. So we'll be ready to roll.
Okay, 2 weeks from today. If you missed it earlier today, we're going to be out there at the K supporting them, as you'd mentioned. We'll be out there 2 weeks from today. I have at least 40. It sounds like we'll have 40 shirts and 40 hats. We'll arrange some sort of pre-game handout of those things before we go into the building for the first 40 people. Look, I got to be honest with you. We spent some show money. This is, you always ask, like, hey, what do you guys do with the show money? Stuff like this.
I bought
with the show fund 40 hats for everybody to wear.
Why not?
And we've got t-shirts from Ray Gun coming. I don't know. Nothing better to spend it on. It's fine.
Coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll get back into the Royals. I want to react to a couple things. I thought there were some interesting nuggets from JJ throughout that conversation. One, about how they could approach a few months from now in potential trades. Their light interest that they had maybe in a rise, and also how they could see the pitching staff playing out as the year continues. So we'll get back into that in just a little bit. But to the east of us in St. Louis, not with their baseball team that's struggling, but their fans are excited there because of what's happening for professional football, not the NFL, but the UFL. And they're the only city that's actually having fans show up. So they're proud of this, right? Because 32,000 showed up for their football game against the Battlehawks. They're playing the Houston Roughnecks. I bring this up only because it's renewed the conversation of folks in St. Louis, at least, on whether or not they deserve another shot at an NFL team. We all know the Rams have left. In fairness to those people in St. Louis, Stan Kroenke was leaving no matter what, right? Like the city did all they could to try to keep the St. Louis Rams. They move out to LA, and now they don't have an NFL team. I think, honestly, what happens with the Chiefs will play a big role in whether or not St. Louis gets an NFL team.
Think they go to Kansas, Missouri might dig in again.
I think the best chance for St. Louis to get an NFL team again might actually be if the Chiefs aren't in Missouri and if they play in Kansas. If the Chiefs stay in Missouri and they get likely a bunch of money from the state for a new stadium, if that's what it's going to take to keep the Chiefs in Missouri, then I don't believe we'll see St. Louis get an NFL team. I think the odds go up if the Chiefs go to Kansas.
It is great that St. Louis maybe is the only market who is regularly supporting the attendance numbers for the not previous XFL, currently UFL league that ends up being there. And they're pointing out some things that are true, but also were true in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's like, hey, 32,000 people were at the Battlehawks game, but also 38,000 people were at the Cardinals game. And I'm like, yeah, just like 2 weeks ago in Kansas City, the Current were sold out, and so was Sporting, and the Royals had a good crowd out at their game, too. Both of these cities, St. Louis is a big enough city to support an NFL team.
Of course.
The problem is they didn't. And I'll be honest, at the same time that they're having success supporting the Battlehawks, the second one team stopped performing well, kind of, they stopped showing up to Cardinals games. The reason why St. Louis lost a team the second time was because their owner didn't want to be there.
Kroenke was always leaving.
Their owner didn't want to be there. He wanted to be in L.A. He wanted to build his palace. He was done. The first time was because they weren't supporting the team. So, like, do they have an argument for a team the second time? Because the last time he just ran them out of town, it was a different circumstance. Yeah, I have a harder time when you just straight up didn't support him. Does that make sense? And it wasn't, like, forever ago. It's not like you'd be like, well, the Kansas City didn't support the Kings. I'm like, what was that, 50 years ago? I don't care about that. The city's different. The times are different. They had a football team 10 years ago. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
Nobody in
but Kroenke ran them out. So
I
it's
also
a little
don't
different.
Think anybody other than those in St. Louis like care about the UFL. Like I zero, you know what I mean? Like that. Props to them for showing up. Like I said, nobody else cares about that league's probably gone in 2 years anyway. And I'm just basing that off of the track record. There's been the Alliance of American Football League. There's been the United Football League. XFL now merged with this league, and it's the UFL. And like, there's so many of these leagues that have tried spring football, and it usually fails. And so props to them for showing up, but nobody cares about that league. And I think if they're going to get an NFL team back in St. Louis, the chance of that happening, a lot of it will depend on how the Chiefs' future is handled by the state of Missouri, as in, do they keep the Chiefs? Or do the Chiefs go across the state line to Kansas?
You might very well be right to the sense that is, if they lose it, because this goes back to the same thing. Missouri's not going to want to lose an NFL team and have no NFL team anymore. Because again, whether you like it or not, from a financial perspective, this is why these teams go to these states, go to these cities and ask for money, is it is still a privilege to be a state that has a professional NFL team. Like, they still have two baseball teams. They would still have professional soccer teams. It's not that they would have no pro sports versus Kansas, who has, or not professionals, they have a professional soccer team because St. Louis has one. But they would still have professional sports, just not the NFL. And the NFL's king. You want to have the NFL. And look, Kansas City, the city won't care because we don't, I mean, whether they're in Kansas or Missouri, I live in Kansas City. Do you think that the New York Giants fans in New York care that they're in Jersey? They still say New York Giants. They don't care. It's fine. That part of it doesn't matter. But from a state financial perspective, it does. So, look, I mean, I don't like the city of St. Louis. But do they have a point in maybe getting another crack? Yeah, maybe. But it's only coming via expansion. What team's leaving their city?
No, it has to be expansion. It absolutely has to be expansion. There's no other situation. Now that we've seen the Raiders already leave and we've seen St. Louis already leave for L.A., there's no other city where I think you should be concerned about the team leaving their metro area. And you brought up, when we've been talking about the Chiefs, and you and I both feel like both the Royals and Chiefs are staying in the metro area. Just where in the metro, we're not sure.
Yeah.
The relocation fee is massive. That's another reason why
I think... more than just to build the stadium. I'm not even kidding.
$500 million or something. And it'll be more than that because that was a couple years ago. It's going to be more than $500 million.
The estimate
is
that it would cost somewhere between $750 million and $1 billion to relocate. And by the way, that does not include any of the like graphic design work. That's just the check you give the NFL to physically vacate the city in which you're living. And so for that point, it's like, if you're the Chiefs and you're only asking for $350 million, would you really relocate and pay to relocate for a cost greater than it would cost you for the money you're asking for? It doesn't make any sense. It's just, it doesn't financially make any sense. Unless you're moving to a huge market, like L.A.
Coming up next, we'll get back into what J.J. Piccolo just said to us a couple minutes ago, and he did confirm one thing about the reports yesterday in the trade market. We'll get into that again next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.